A warm welcome to each of you on this second Sunday of 2016. In the peace of our country, we take it for granted, but it is so good to be able to freely gather to worship, to study, to drink coffee, and simply enjoy each other's company. May God gift us with comfort and with challenge this morning as we gather. It is a joy to have Jeanette Hansen with us, Mennonite Church Canada witness worker in China, and Jason Martin is with us as well, Partnership Development Director for Eastern Canada, or in Eastern Canada with Mennonite Church Canada. Are there any other guests who are with us this morning? I don't think so. So welcome all to this time of worship. And as Jan Lynn plays, I invite you in the time of silence, as much as you can, to quiet yourself, to breathe deeply, to let go of the busy thoughts within your head, the worries, the fears, the doubts, the insecurities, the resentments. Lay them at the feet of Jesus so you can be present in this time of worship to each other, to yourself, and to God. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to worship. As 2016 has begun, we gather to worship and invite God's Spirit to comfort and to challenge us. We express our hope and confidence that God was present in Jesus and is present in us, that the creating Spirit of God is active, making something new that can't be contained by a particular way of thinking, denomination, or powerful nation state. God is setting us free to be God's people, regardless of our nationality or race. May we celebrate as we worship, comforted and challenged by engaging together in Scripture, in singing, and with Jeanette as she shares with us. Let us pray together. God of love, light a flame of love in our hearts to you. A flame of love to our families and friends. A flame of love to our neighbors. A flame of love to our enemies. Light a flame of love in our hearts to all, from the lowliest thing that lives to the name that is highest of all. Amen. I invite Lois to come and lead us now as we join our voices together in song.
Our opening hymn is number 299, in the Blue Book, New Earth, Heavens New. Turn to number 567. How Firm a Foundation. This is an oldie. Let's stand to sing this one, please.
Thank you.
Receive these words of the promise of restoration and protection which the prophet spoke to his people, which resonate with so many, I believe, in our world yet today. The words of Isaiah. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. As I mentioned earlier, we are glad to have Jeanette Hansen with us this morning. Over the next three Sundays in our worship, we are intentionally focusing on the broader church, recognizing that God's movement is larger than our particular congregation, that we are stronger because of our relationships with others as a collection of congregations. So today we are fortunate to have Jeanette Hansen with us, and I invite the children to come forward here to the front, and Jeanette will share with you in the children's time.
Sit down here, sure. That's great. Good morning. How are you this morning? Good? That's great. Good. All right, everybody's here. Do you see that I have something with me this morning that I stole from the back entry? You see this broom here? I thought I'd clean up a little bit. Actually, it's really clean. I don't have to. But do you ever help your moms and dads clean up?
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah? Yeah. What do you do? Do you sweep with a broom like this?
Yeah, or take the dishes off the table.
Okay. Yeah, dishes always need to be done. Right. Vacuum. Yeah, it's not my favorite. Good. You know, there are kids in China right now that are helping their moms and dads sleep too. Sleep now because of the time difference, but sweep. And they're using brooms and pails and mops, and they're cleaning their houses, really, from top to bottom. They clean their houses, especially in January. And you know why they do that in January? Because they're getting ready for the new year. Now you might think, didn't we just have a new year? But they follow a new year that's with a moon calendar. And that moon calendar new year is coming up at the beginning of February this year. And so they're getting ready. They clean, they get ready to welcome this new year. They decorate their houses with red lanterns and red paper along the doorways. They have red paper and they write some words of blessing and hope beside the door for the future. Today in our Bible reading and in the message, we're going to talk about preparing for something new. The Old Testament passage that Pastor Matthew just read from Isaiah, he talked about a big change coming when people will follow God from many places in the world. And then we're going to have some New Testament stories of Jesus and his disciples when we also see something new is coming. People who were once enemies are following God together. And they're not enemies anymore. There was healing in that relationship. So Jesus came to do this new thing, to heal all the things that divide us from God and the things that divide us from each other. There are many things that divide people from each other. I lived in China for a long time, and people use different language. There's different customs. They think in different ways. But God is doing something new. These differences don't need to divide us as people. We are free to follow God together. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So when you think about kids in China right now, you can think about them cleaning and sweeping and decorating. So today I brought each of you a little red lantern so that you can decorate your house for the Lunar New Year, the Chinese New Year. And when you look at this red lantern, you can think about how we are free to follow God together with people who are different from us. All right? Some of you that have really little ones, be careful. There's beads and stuff that might come apart. Here, can we make sure everybody gets one? You want to help me hand them out? Can you help me hand them out? No? Can you help? They're kind of stuck together. You want to help hand them out? You give one to each person, okay? Do you want to help? No? Yeah, okay. And one for you. Yeah, good. Did you get one? No? Did you get one? Oh, good, you want to.
Thank you.
Yeah, you want to.
Thank you.
Did everybody get one back there? I have lots. Yeah, okay, good, thank you. You can go back.
Take your purple books now and turn to number 49. Number 49, I will come to you in the silence. Again, written from the words of Isaiah that Matthew just read.
You will hear my voice, and you ask my choice. He said,
from the New Testament, from the Gospel of Luke. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming, and I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." And at the end of chapter 3, "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" And from Acts chapter 8, 14 to 17. "Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." I invite Jeanette to come and share with us. Welcome.
Good morning. Very happy to be with you this morning, and I also bring greetings from Mennonite Church Canada that is worshiping together this morning in more than 20 languages, and around the world with our partners in 26 different countries. It's a diverse and wide family of God to be part of. And I thank you as a congregation for your support for Mennonite Church Canada and for the many programs that are being done in international ministries around the world. And that's a good theme for this time of year. In the church calendar, we've already gone through the Advent part of the year. And for us culturally as well, it's a time that's characterized by waiting and preparation, waiting for Christmas, preparing for the coming of the Savior. As a child, and I must admit, even as an adult today, I find it's my favorite time of year. It's that bittersweet longing, expectation, excitement. It's all rolled into one. And dare I even admit that Christmas Day often is a bit of a letdown. It never seems to meet the expectation that Advent brings. And maybe it shouldn't. Maybe as we live in this present yet future kingdom of God that God is building, there should always be expectation. And so today's scriptures from the lectionary really lend themselves to a continuation of this theme of expectation. Something new is coming. This time of year, as I told the children, is full of expectation in China and preparation. January 1st, New Year, really signals the beginning. And then it's hard to get any work done after that because there's cleaning and cooking and decorating and banquets. Sound familiar? A new year is coming. What will it bring? The red decorations, the phrases of good luck and good fortune that they always post beside the doors, the incense burned to the ancestors, the red lucky money envelopes given to children all point to this wish. Something new is happening. Let it be good. I can kind of relate to this. When we saw the clock tick over at midnight on New Year's Eve and 2016 began, I wondered, what will this year bring? So it's interesting in the passage in Isaiah that Isaiah begins with a reassurance from God. "Do not fear. You are precious, and I love you." And the reassurance is important because the change described in that passage is groundbreaking. The powerful and mighty nations surrounding Israel will no longer be all-powerful. God is gathering God's people, not as a nation to conquer, but from within all nations, all the created sons and daughters from the ends of the earth. This is a complete redefining of who are the chosen ones. The walls of nationalities, race, and ethnicity are being broken down. In the 1700s and 1800s in China, Western nations grew increasingly frustrated with trade sanctions imposed by the Qing Dynasty emperors. The English wanted tea, silk, and porcelain. And China wanted, well, nothing, but silver would do. England was not happy with this arrangement. So after trying to export wool and several other things that China expressed no interest in, they devised a plan. British ships would carry goods to the already colonized India and then load up with opium to take to China. Opium was the perfect trading commodity. The markets just continued to grow as people became addicted. As the emperor realized what was happening to his people as a result of this trade, he closed the borders and destroyed the British opium warehouses. This meant war. The First and Second Opium Wars were fought with British and Allied forces, opening trading ports and taking over Hong Kong completely as a British military base to ensure that trade would continue. As this happened, missionaries from the West poured in. China, weakened by years of war and occupation by Western forces, as well as the effects of a corrupt leadership in their own government, was badly impoverished. Western missionaries set up clinics, hospitals, schools, medical colleges, and universities. The saying at the time and for years to come was, "One more Christian, one less Chinese." But God was making something new, and it didn't stop there. Into the 1900s, groups of Chinese Christians and many Western supporters were realizing that God had given the Chinese church a unique voice and a role in the body of Christ. And then the dynamics changed very quickly when in 1949 the communist government took power and kicked out all foreign missionaries. But the church did not only survive, but it grew in those early years of incredible suppression and persecution, especially during the Cultural Revolution. And now we are being invited to join with the Chinese church, to join them as brothers and sisters. When Peter and John went to Samaria in the Acts 8 passage that we just read, I wonder what they were expecting. There were rumors that these people were following God, accepting the word of God, it says. What a strange concept. These Samaritans weren't supposed to be the chosen people. They didn't even know how to worship God properly. It was a shock when Jesus talked about the Good Samaritan as the hero of the story. These people were following God and becoming part of the family. It must have been a shocking visit for Peter and John. A mind-bending, groundbreaking, wall-breaking visit. The walls were breaking down. In Ephesians 2:15, the church is described as the community in which Jews and Gentiles become one in Christ, thus making peace. I'm not a Greek scholar, but a friend of mine looked it up for me. This phrase of making peace in Ephesians 2 is the same phrase that's used in Matthew 5 when Jesus talks about blessed are the peacemakers. And those are the only two times we think that it's used. So this making peace is a special kind of making peace where enemies come together to follow God. It makes you wonder what our church would look like if we defined peacemaking in this Ephesians 2 kind of way. We are the witnesses to these signs pointing the way to God's building of God's kingdom. In 1991, when we first arrived in China, we asked a Chinese pastor, "What can we do for the church in China?" He said, "Well, we already have a savior, so we don't need that. He was a bit of a sarcastic person. We haven't met too many of sarcastic people in China, but he was one of them. He said, come and live with us for 10 years. And it's only in making our lives together that we can begin to understand each other. It's only an understanding that we can find respect for each other. And it's only through respect that we can begin to work together. Maybe he would be surprised to know today that we took him literally. But that phrase, come and live with us, share our lives, our struggles, our joys, that's something that we're hearing echoed from many areas. This year, I've talked to Mennonite Church Canada witness workers who are living in the Philippines, in Botswana, who work with First Nations groups in Canada, and they all are being told, come and live with us. There's something about incarnational ministry that goes beyond statements of support or money for programs. God has shown us how incarnational presence is vital for reconciliation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When talking about past hurts by missionaries in the history of the Philippines, several Filipino brothers said, you do not now have the luxury of saying, we did this wrong in the past, so we will now just stop engaging internationally. You have an obligation to stay and share our lives and live through this hurt with us. It was a humbling message to receive. All created sons and daughters of God are called. One of the ways we are sharing life with the Chinese church is in an internship program. Last year, a young church leader, Li Guandian, was sent by his congregation to spend a year taking classes at Eastern Mennonite University and working with a mentor at Virginia Mennonite Retirement Community. He was looking at church-run senior care, which is a growing issue in Chinese churches. While at Virginia Mennonite Retirement Community, Li Guandian used the experience and skills that he had from his work in China to help design a peer mentoring support system for seniors coming in to the Virginia Mennonite community. Mutual sharing across borders and language and culture, God is doing something new. As I was returning to Canada from China in November, I had a chance to stop in Vancouver for a few days to do some speaking at various places. And while I was there, I looked up a family from Chengdu, where we used to live. They had also just returned to Canada after years of living in China. This Chinese-Canadian family had spent time in Canada earlier, but then returned to China because of family responsibilities. They had lived in China for 12 years, and their daughter was a classmate and friend of our daughter's, Kate. We had a lovely evening together, and we shared stories of trying to readapt to life in Canada. In their 12-year absence from Vancouver, things had changed a lot, especially the number of Chinese immigrants. They saw this as a real challenge, and they felt the sting of racist comments and behavior as Vancouverites deal with the changing demographics in their population. Now, I hadn't spent that much time with the father of this family while we were in Chengdu, but he suddenly opened up about his feelings on this subject. He said, you spent all those years in Canada working with North Americans coming that way and helping them to communicate cross-culturally and to understand China. Now we need you here. He gave some funny examples of his Chinese immigrant neighbors trying to adapt to new life. Would it kill them to smile occasionally? He said. Smiling at random strangers in public is something that doesn't come easily for most mainland Chinese people. In fact, if you're walking down the street in mainland China and smiling at strangers, people would probably avoid you. Most people would feel pretty self-conscious trying this out on a Canadian street. And they'd feel quite unsettled when being smiled at by a passing stranger, even though in their head they know people are being friendly. But his next comments surprised me. I didn't know that in his life or in his background that he had any close contact with the church or that he had much knowledge about what the church meant. But he had a challenge for me. He said, you and the church must bear the most responsibility to help the people of the world bridge our differences and to build peace between groups. He said, you are not like us. We, and that, by that he meant people not in the church, we are bound by ethnicity, culture, language, and political boundaries, but you have been made free of all this. You are the ones who can see that we are really one family in the world. You have been given this freedom, so you are responsible to build reconciliation. We are free. Free in Christ to work beyond the constrictions of our own self-interest, our own prejudice, our own racist inclinations. What a privilege. What a responsibility. God is doing something new. Don't you want to join?
Number 306 in the Blue Book. In Christ there is no East or West. Let's stand to sing.
I invite the ushers to come forward for the morning's offering. And as they come forward, if you can turn in your green book to 148. The green book, 148. We will pray this together as our prayer before the offering. And we'll simply follow along as it is named, Leader and People, 148 in the green book. God has shown us the meaning of generosity. God has abundantly blessed us and called us. Let us rejoice in what we have been given and in what is ours to give. Amen. If you have an announcement that you would like to share in regards to our life as community, as church together, I invite you to do so at this time. And I'll just name as you're, if you have an announcement as you're coming forward. For Sunday school this morning, Jeanette will lead sermon discussion class, and Jason Martin will also be present in that. Be an opportunity to hear about work in China and more generally work of Mennonite Church Canada. We will meet upstairs here in the sanctuary. We'll use the PowerPoint for some pictures. So I think it'll be easiest to meet up here. So you, at the end of the service, definitely get a coffee and visit a little bit downstairs. And I would hope by 11 or shortly after, we'll begin up here. And you obviously can bring your coffee with you as we meet back up in this space here. But just wanted everyone to be aware of that.
On my lovely stroll into the church this morning, I stumbled upon a set of keys out in the parking lot. I don't know if anyone's missing three keys. They're gold, and it looks like there's a mailbox. So if you're missing these lovely keys, just let me know.
I just want to highlight the announcement in the bulletin about guess who's coming to dinner on January 24th. The sign-up sheet is at the bulletin board at the back. You can sign up to be either a guest or a host, and either for the noon at noon or supper time, whichever works best for you, or if it doesn't matter, just put either. Also, make sure, whether you're a guest or a host, please indicate how many people you, as a guest you would be, or if you're hosting, how many, up to how many people you could host, just so that we have an idea when we're matching folks up. Thanks.
Good morning. Noticed something happened this week, and there was an announcement of the financial update in the bulletin. We have our fiscal year ending in January 31st, so we've got, including today, what's that, 4 weeks, and we're about a $19,000 shortfall, so keep that in mind. And also for those who weren't around, I think last week, we are also have a blessing of a nice amount in our capital fund, and a few people have already mentioned to me ideas for spending some of that capital fund. And so if you have any other ideas, let myself know, or Wayne, Jesse, or I guess John, I think I forgot him last time, John Islet. So thank you.
The other announcement, just to note in the bulletin, the men's breakfast, Saturday, January 23rd, there's a sign-up sheet at the back, and Daryl Bender will be here sharing about some of his experiences working at the Working Center in Kitchener, so an opportunity of some awareness of social issues in our larger region, so I look forward to that morning. If there's no other announcements, we will move into our sharing and prayer of the church time. If you have a joy or concern to share with the gathered congregation, I invite you to do so.
I just wanted to share that Faith and I are going to be expecting a little bundle of joy in July of this year, so.
Jackie and I and Mark and Stacy and Ben and Zach are happy to announce that Chris and Jeanette had their child. His name is Theodore David Ezekiel Keller. And a healthy, almost 8-pounder. And both he and Mom are doing well. And he arrived Thursday morning at 12:30 a.m. So, and they're very, very grateful to everyone's prayers. There's been a lot of interest from everyone here at Nith Valley asking about how they're doing, so they're very grateful for that and send their regards. Also, people will note in their bulletin a few things. There's quite a lengthy notice about our congregational and pastoral review, and just a reminder to keep that in our thoughts and prayers, and hopefully read through that. There is some updated information, and we'll continue to update the congregation, but you can expect things coming to you via email and things in the very, very short term. And then also two important notes that also need to be held up in prayer, and hopefully everyone is taking time to discern and consider. And that is the notice from MC Canada about our Being Faithful Church process, that the final reporting and summary and recommendations are all there and can be found on the website noted there. And so I encourage everyone to at least be aware of and take some time to peruse that and give thought and prayer to that, as well of course, for the Future Directions Task Force. The final paper and recommendations there are also posted on the website. There's quite a long document that's quite inclusive of information with all kinds of background material that's available if anyone has interest. And then there's also a shorter summary report there as well. It's a little easier read, not quite as in-depth, but I do encourage we as congregation to take note of that and hold all of those processes up in prayer. They're quite significant in terms of life of the church and the larger church, which we're talking about this morning, etc.
And thank you, Terry, for your volunteer commitment to being a part of that Future Directions Task Force and giving of your talents to the larger church across Canada. Let us take time to pray together. Dear God, at the beginning of this new year, we seek you in the spaces of our lives, the spaces between what we've done and what we've left undone, the spaces between our convictions and our actions, the spaces between all that we hope to do and what we've actually done. We come with humility, knowing that we can't always see the way we've disappointed you, nor can we always see the long-term effects of the good we've done. This is a prayer for the road ahead, which is an empty space stretching before us. Fill us with a burning compassion for our brothers and sisters, a love that will not let us go. Give us courage to give boldly, love simply, hope deeply, risk greatly. Give us confidence to know that you are working with and among us, and that together as Nith Valley, as Mennonite Church Canada, you are creating new things at home and around the globe. As we faithfully seek the road ahead, we acknowledge the pain, struggles, and joys that we hold in our hearts. We give you much thankfulness for the birth of Theodore. Be with him and his parents as they move forward on this exciting journey of life and parenting. We rejoice with Matt and Faith as they anticipate and prepare for the birth of their first child this coming July. We give you thanks for the larger church, for Mennonite Church Canada, for all the dedicated volunteers who've been a part of the Being a Faithful Church process and the Future Directions Task Force. We pray for our church, for the ways that it can be strengthened through this work, for the joys and the challenges that have been a part of it, and the joys and challenges that will come as we continue to engage in the discussions. Our light is small, but together it shines bright, illuminating the way forward. So let us let our light shine for you, always, ever, all for you, knowing that we are precious in your sight. We are honored and loved by you. And with this strength, we let our light shine today, tomorrow, and all the morrows to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our closing hymn is number 113 in the Purple Book, number 113. I Will Stand in the Congregation, and let's all stand to sing.
May the God who gave us this year and the Savior who walked at our side each day and the Spirit who fills us with life abundant grace this year 2016 with peace and hope and joy. Amen.
Thank you.